Christmas is all in the timing. The key to a great Christmas day is just to get the timing right. If you can get all of those different events in the right order, just at the right time, then you get the perfect Christmas day. Christmas is all in the timing. Now, I want to help you tonight to get your timing right for Christmas Day. And so what I've done is I brought along my alarm clock here, and I've preloaded all of my alarms for Christmas Day into this alarm clock. I'm going to take you through them, and I'll see if I can just share some tips and tricks to get your Christmas Day timing just right. So this is obviously a bit too small for everyone to see. So what I'm going to do is I've asked the tech guys if we can get it on the big screen. There it is. I'm just going to plug it in. There we go. There's my alarm clock. 5:36. Is that the actual time? We're close. All right. Here we go. First alarm. What? 4:30? That's the alarm. My kids have been at this alarm clock again. That is not the alarm for Christmas Day. It looks like you, kids, you guys want to be up at 4:30 on Christmas Day, but that is not right. The correct time is actually 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the perfect time for presents. Just give mum and dad a little sleep in, still plenty of time. Next alarm. The next alarm here, 9:30. Now, what is 9:30? 9:30? Church. That's right, church here, Christmas Day, 9:30. Sneaky little plug in there for church here, North Coast Church. I probably shouldn't forget that, so I'm glad I've got the alarm. Next alarm for a perfect Christmas Day, 12:30. Now, 12:30 I think is the perfect lunchtime. And it's not time for nibbles, right? I need to sit down and have meat at 12:30. If you have a 7-hour slow-cooked braised brisket, lamb in the oven thing, it's got to come out. Doesn't matter how raw it is, 12:30. Otherwise, I'm getting very hangry, and that's a bad Christmas Day. What is next? 3 o'clock. Who can help me out? What's 3 o'clock for? Someone said nap. Nap is correct. Everyone else is wrong. 3 o'clock is the one and only time for nap time. Next alarm, 4 o'clock. Wake up from nap, yes. And that's the alarm for second lunch. You've had first lunch, you need second lunch. This is the time to dive back in for seconds. Here's a couple of other alarms which might just apply to my family, but I'll give them as tips for your family as well. 4:35. This is the time when we need to distract Uncle Frank, because he's going to start talking about politics as the afternoon goes on and kind of his conspiracy theories. So we've got to play a game of backyard cricket, something just to get out in front of that. And then finally, this one here, 5:27. Now, I've done some research into this time. This is the perfect time to leave Christmas lunch. Because obviously, maximum time to play with the gifts and all that kind of stuff. You get your second lunch and everything, but it's also time to get the kids home into bed before it's too late, and maximum chance of avoiding the dishes. So 5:27, I give that as my recommendation to you. The key to Christmas Day is all in the timing. But the timing's not just important to get your Christmas Day right. The timing is important if you want to understand the meaning of Christmas Day. If you want to understand the true meaning of Christmas, then you need to understand the timing. You see, Christmas tells us something about God's love for his world. And if we want to understand God's love, then we need to understand the timing. So I want to read a few verses from the Bible tonight that tell us about the timing of Jesus coming into our world. Here on the screen from Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birth. We've been singing all these songs about it. And the timing of Jesus coming into the world was at just the right time, it says. And when was that right time? Well, it was when we were still powerless, when we were weak and helpless, when we couldn't do anything for ourselves. That was the timing when God stepped into our world. I once got a flat tire when I was driving through the city. We're driving along a busy street, and actually a pedestrian was walking past, and they were like, "You've got a flat tire," pointing it out to me. I was like, "Ah, terrible timing, driving through the city." And so we're driving along, and we're actually going to give blood in the city, and I could see where we were going. That kind of was just a block ahead, and I thought, I'm just going to drive there, we'll park, give blood, and then I'll come out and I'll sort out the flat tire. So we go, we do that, go in, give blood, come out. I'm like, oh, this is so annoying, flat tire. Get the tire iron, go to sort it out. Do you think I could move those wheel nuts one tiny bit? Not a chance. I'd just given blood. I was as weak as a kitten. I couldn't do a single thing. And look, no one has ever accused me of being the strongest person in the room. I don't know if you've noticed that. If I turn sideways, I disappear. But here I am trying to get this wheel nuts off, and I couldn't budge it at all. I had to call the RAC, call them up and say, oh, could you come and, you know, change my flat tire? The RAC guy arrives, and he gives me one of those looks like, mate, it just gets it off. But I was weak. I was powerless. There was nothing I could do to budge it at all. And that's what we were like. We were helpless, powerless. And the Bible says that that is the situation we were in when God stepped in. But it was actually worse than that. The timing wasn't just when we were powerless. It was when we were set against God, it says. It said there in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was when we were God's enemies. See, to be a sinner is to be someone who is kind of at war with God, in a fight with God. You know what it's like when you kind of have a blow up with a friend and you're kind of not on speaking terms anymore? Well, that's what it was like with us and God. We were in a fight with God, a fight of our own making for the way that we had rejected him and ignored him and damaged the world that he had given us to live in and hurt each other. And we know what that's like. A sinner is someone who's stuck in a fight with God, or maybe doesn't care. And maybe you can identify that that's you. And so we had set ourselves as God's enemies. But guess what? That was the timing. It was while we were still sinners that Christ came. See, Christmas is all about the timing. And it is a measure of how much God loves us. See that? That God demonstrates his own love for us in this, in coming at that time while we were still his enemies. He loves us before we deserve it, before we've done anything to kind of earn his love. He loves us when we need it the most. See, God's love is all in the timing with which it comes. Now, I've got something else to show you. The thing about Santa is, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about Santa. He's the present guy. We all love presents, right? But the thing about Santa is he gets, well, you've got to help him for a start. Um, He gets the timing wrong. Totally wrong. Santa gets the timing wrong. For Santa, you've got to be good first, and then he gives you presents. You've got to make it onto the nice list, and then he gives you presents. But that's not really loving. That's not hard to do. And really, if he's insisting that we make it onto the nice list first, who can manage that? Who can go through an entire year without doing anything bad? Without hurting anyone? Which of the kids is putting up their hand like 100% totally good all year? There's one or two. I think Mum and Dad might have something to say about that. So you can't win with Santa. You can't win with Santa because he gets the timing wrong. But when God demonstrates his love for us, he does it before we do anything good. Before we do anything of our own strength. And he loves us. See, Christmas is all in the timing. But there's one more thing that we need to see. Look at how God shows his love at just the right time. Look at how he does it. See, these verses are talking all about God's love, but look at how often they talk about death. Did you notice that? There's only three verses up there, and all of them end in death. See, the measure of God's love is not just in the timing, but in the cost. It's not just in the timing, but in the cost. The measure of God's love is that Christ died for us. See, to be set against God, to be in a fight with God is a real problem. Because God is the creator of everyone. He's the creator of everything. He's the one who gives life to our world. And so to be set against him means to face death. To be his enemy is to face death. But when Jesus comes, he died. The Bible tells us that he died for us, for our good, for our sake, in our place. Jesus died for us. Verse 7 there says that sometimes you see that happening. Sometimes in our world you see someone who will die for someone else. You hear about like a fireman who runs into a burning building to rescue an innocent victim but they themselves die in the process. Sometimes you'll hear about that. But what about a fireman who runs into the burning building to save the arsonist? What about the fireman who runs in to save the person who lit the match? One who is against them? That would be an extreme show of love. But that is the measure of God's love. That Jesus comes and he gives his life, not for friends, not for good people, not even for innocent victims, but for enemies. People fighting against him. And he gives his life while we were still sinners against God. See, God's love is all in the timing. And so Christmas is all in the timing as well. Jesus comes exactly when we need it, when we're still powerless, before we've done anything, before we're able to help ourselves, and before we've done anything good, before we deserve it. He comes and he dies for us in this extreme show of love. And so here at North Coast, that's why we think Jesus is so incredible. Why we want everything here at North Coast to be about him. And we'd love to invite you to come back and find out more about Jesus. Starting in January, we're going to be spending time on Sundays looking at one of the biographies of Jesus' life. When you read those original biographies of Jesus, you find that he is incredible. No other person has been more influential throughout history, and no one makes bigger claims about who they are and what they have achieved than Jesus. And so if you would like to find out more about him, we'd love to invite you back. Even people who met Jesus face to face when he was alive asked the question, who is this? who is this guy who does all these incredible things? And so we'd love to invite you to come back one Sunday in January to find out more about Jesus, this man who demonstrated God's costly, extreme love for us. I'm going to invite the band back up. We're going to sing a couple more carols before we finish. But this next song is one of my favourites. We're going to sing O Holy Night. I'm not really one who can hit the high notes, but it's one of my favourites to sing. Maybe you've sung it before over the Christmases. But maybe tonight you'll be able to sing it with even a little bit more meaning behind it. There's a line in this song that says, O holy night, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And that was us, part of a world that was stuck in sin and error, longing for something to happen, longing for God to appear and put things right. And when he appears, Jesus comes in this incredible demonstration of the love of God for us at just the right time.